very quickly, there are just three elements in what Jesus is doing, in as we recall the words of St. Paul in this rite of the Last Supper. The first, of course, is he is giving us an unconditional act of love. Jesus defines love as gift of self. And in John's Gospel, he says, there is no greater love than a man can have than to give his life for his friends. And of course, you can see no greater love than what? Giving himself, gift of self, giving his life. So of course, when Jesus takes then the species of the Eucharist, right, and he says, this is my body, and the word body there is translated by the Greek soma, which is very different from sarx. Sarx is this, the flesh. But soma is the whole person, the whole self, the whole life, the whole human being. So when he says, this is my soma, this is my body, den bezri from the Aramaic, when he says this, he's talking about, this is myself given for you. This is my unconditional act of love, gift of self, given for you. So of course, what is this unconditional act of love going to do? And here we get the second part of the ritual, because Jesus at the beginning of the Last Supper, right, before the Last Supper begins, right, that's when he institutes what's called the rite of the bread, which is the rite of his body. But then when the supper is over, he then institutes the rite of the cup. And the reason that he does this is because what the Jewish people did when they had a sacrifice, and this will be very important because Jesus is going to sacrifice himself, and he's going to imitate the sacrificial offerings that are embedded into the history of Israel. So what we see is, when the Jewish person is going to sacrifice an animal, he takes the animal, and after killing the animal, takes the blood from the animal. First, he sacrifices the body, which has no blood in it, right? It's a bloodless flesh. He sacrifices that. Then he either sacrifices the blood or sprinkles the blood around the altar for the redemption of the sins of the people. The main thing to remember then is a sacrifice always has the flesh first and the blood second. So Jesus has the supper separating the rite of the flesh, the rite of the body, and the rite of the blood. So then when he institutes the rite of the blood, he first connects it, right, to the forgiveness of sins. So that means he's connecting it to a sin offering, which is very typical in Old Testament covenant theology, right? You take some kind of an animal, you lay your hands on the animal, the sins of the people go into the animal, you sacrifice the animal, right, and you sprinkle the blood around the altar, and all the people's sins are purified. But now it will not be just some animal which is going to be the instrument of the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is going to take the place of the sacrificial animal, is going to take the place of the sin offering animal in an abject act of humility, in an abject act of love. He's going to take the place of this animal. The Son of God is going to take the place of an animal in order to forgive our sins. But he's got something else in mind as well that we read about in our first reading. He's going to take the place too of the Paschal Lamb. So, of course, Jesus chooses the Passover to go up to Jerusalem. This is the big feast of the year when the lambs are slaughtered and the big Passover feast is celebrated in Jerusalem. I mean, they've got a gazillion pilgrims going up there at this time. And, of course, Jesus decides he's going to go through this rite, this ritual, on the very day that the lambs are being slaughtered, right? And of course, he is sitting there with his disciples at this juncture. And of course, he says, this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new covenant during the Passover. Clearly then, he's not just taking the place of a sacrificial animal, which is a sin offering. He's taking the place of the sacrificial lamb. And what was the blood of the sacrificial lamb? Why was that so important to the Jewish people? Because the blood, which was put right of a, you get the sheep and the goats, you're going to take an unblemished lamb, you're going to put slaughter it at twilight, you're going to put it on the doorpost of every Israelite household so that the angel of death will pass over it. So the key idea then is to have the angel of death pass over. But now it's not going to be just the angel of death in the worldly sense letting the Israelites go. It's going to be that this blood of the Son of God, once again, Jesus taking the place of the sacrificial animal in an abject act of humility and love, he's going to do this so that we'll be protected from death forever. We're going to be protected from the darkness forever. So what Jesus wants too is that not only, right, that the blood protect us from death, but the blood is the entryway for the Israelites to leave the Egyptian slavery, right? And now it's going to be the slavery of sin for Jesus, not just the worldly slavery of the Egyptians, but the slavery of sin, the slavery of to darkness, the slavery to evil, the slavery to the devil, right? He's going to liberate us from the evil one. He's going to liberate us from the devil. He's going to, with this one gift, dispel the darkness, right? And that we could come back and get the darkness dispelled every time we come to the Holy Eucharist, right? That we're going to be able to do this. And of course, when this occurs, we are redeemed. And of course, for Jesus then, he's taking the place of the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of God, precisely so that he can save us from death, he can give us eternal life. This is the gift of eternal life that we'll be celebrating. And it's going to be the gift of freedom from slavery to sin and slavery to the evil one and slavery to darkness and evil itself. And he has one last thing in mind. And that is the covenant in his blood. So in his words, he says, this is the blood of the new covenant. What's a covenant? It's an agreement. It's a pact. It's a contract, right? It means, you know, he's going to make the solemn agreement, right? And what's the solemn agreement? The solemn agreement is to give us eternal life to those who have faith and receive the Holy Eucharist, that he's going to give us eternal life. And that he's going to save us from slavery to sin and darkness. And that he's going to redeem us with this act of unconditional love. Redeem every single bit of our sinfulness. And of course, that's part of the covenant. And what is the blood of the covenant? The blood guarantees the agreement. So what you say, if you have a blood covenant with somebody, right? That means I stake my life on it. I guarantee this agreement with my life. And if I violate the agreement, then you can take my life, right? Because I've guaranteed the contract, the agreement with my life. And of course, what does Jesus do immediately? He doesn't violate the contract. He goes out and pays the penalty for the violation, even though he didn't violate it. Why would he do that? To give every one of us an absolute guarantee. To give every one of us an absolute guarantee of his word. Having already paid the penalty, he is telling you, I give you an absolute guarantee of eternal life. I give you an absolute guarantee of freedom from sin and darkness and the devil. I give you an absolute guarantee of the forgiveness of your sins. I give it to you through your faith. I give it to you through this gift of the Eucharist. I give it to you when you try to follow me and follow my word. It is yours. And that's a really significant thing, because I do believe every single one of us here is and will be redeemed by it. Amen.